This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulullah, amma ba'd. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam. His soul was the best that was ever placed in the mother's womb. His creation was the best day that this world has ever seen. A best creation of Allah subhanahu jalla fi ala that was ever created. The eyes that never slept, the best drop of water on the face of the earth was that fell from his own, fearing for his ummah. The heart that never slept, even when he slept, to remember Allah subhanahu jalla fi ala. It was that tongue that was ever so moist and gentle by the remembrance of Allah. It was those hands that were ever raised to ask Allah subhanahu jalla fi ala to protect the ummah. It was those feet that walked for the sake of Allah from town to town, even bloodied for the sake of Allah, giving da'wah to others when others rejected. How much would you pay to even see him in the ru'ya? How much would you pay to have lived at the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just to have your feet match the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How much would you pay to go to Medina, or even die in Medina? How difficult is it for you to turn around, walk away, and leave Medina? And how much would you pay to be resurrected with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? But the ultimate price, how much would you pay to be with him in Jannah? May Allah make us among them. Ameen. That journey that changed the world. Difficulties indeed. People torn away, taken away from their families. A father killed in front of the eyes of a son. A mother humiliated in front of her own. People chopped in half. People burned. People torn, families. Things are difficult. A decision had to be made. So I'm going to ask you to join me on this journey that changed the world. It was time to migrate. How a leader makes a decision, how he leads by example, how he was a walking Quran, how he was described to be, what is the role model for us, the lessons and learn that we have to share with you in a few minutes to come. The first lesson we learn from this beauty is understanding what it's all about, not just linguistically in the definition, but indeed what it means to us. Even when the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'een talked about this incident, about the time where they actually had to have a calendar that is Islamic, that is identity for us. Someone we can see at that time we begin and that time we finish. So they thought and pondered and reflected, was it the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Was it the ba'tha, the time of revelation? Was it the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Or was it the migration? So they started talking and discussing, making shura, consulting. So is that debatable when it comes to the day of the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Sharaf wa fakh, bila shak. No doubt it's an honor for us as Muslims. But it was debatable. No concrete answer what day it was. And the revelation similarly. So should you go with the death of Rasulullah? It was saddened for everyone. So it was the migration that they decided to go with. Because that was the nusrah for Islam. And that is exactly the pivotal point and the turning point in every man's, woman and child's life. The migration of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the birth of every Muslim on the same on the face of the earth. So if you think of the migration itself, don't think of what you see on TV. Don't think of you see on the Bollywood or the Hollywood or your screen. It's not the movies that we're after. It's not the story that we're after. It is what we learn from the story behind the great man. And who was it indeed? The best of creation. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula had created the creation, and from them He chosen the righteous. And from the righteous, He chosen the prophets. And from the prophets, He chosen the messengers. And from the messengers, He chosen the five ulil azm, the strongest one that persevered. From ulil azm, He chosen the khalilan, the two closest of company. From the two, He chosen the one, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. How could we not be walking in the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we claim that we love him? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called our bluff. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهِ. If you claim, and all of us, that we claim that we love Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula. So He's given you a mission stick. If you really, truly mean what you say, not a lip service. Actions speak louder than words. If you truly claim that you love Allah, follow me. Who is me? That is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best of creation. If you follow me, that is the way to show your love of Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula. What's in it for you to in return? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love you back. Allahu Akbar. That is the medal of honor that we should always strive for. So the first thing we have to understand what this meaning, the linguistically, وَتَرْكُ الشَّيْءِ أَوْ تَرْكُ الدَّارِ, in that migration itself is leaving something or moving from one to the other. But what does that mean to us? According to the hadith that is sahih, he says, الْهِجْرَةِ, what is migration? He says, the hijra of تَرْكُمَا, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the dislikes. Leaving that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbids. Al-hijra min al-dhulumati ila al-nur, migrating from darkness to light, migrating from slavery to freedom, migrating from the smallness of this world to the vastness in the hereafter, migrating from aqidah that is fasida, a belief that is spoiled, migrating from being a slave to a slave to being a slave to a Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula. Migrating from you being in love with yourself and hawa and nafs wa dunya wa shaitan. Being enslaved to your whims and desires and the worldly affairs. And that which is conceded within you to the love of Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula. Migration from the tajarrud, taking off the clothing of pride and arrogance, not dignity. Migration from disbelief to belief. Migration from a lifestyle to a life that is eternal. Migration from a facade to a true eternal goal that you have. Not just a dream that is wishful thinking. First lesson we learned, brothers and sisters, is tadhiyah. There's so many. It is impossible for us to take this beautiful garden. We can take a few flowers from the garden of hijrah that we can talk about and listen to and implement. Took books, and it will take days to explain everything that this journey was all about. But the first lesson we will learn today is tadhiyah. This sacrifice the sacrifice and the investment of that sacrifice in the hereafter. وَمَنْ تَرَكَ شَيْءٍ لِلَّهِ عَوَضَهُ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا مِنْهُ. If you leave something for the sake of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you something better. Rest assured. So we have to understand, when the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'een came to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even the best of them, Khabbab ibn al-Arat radiallahu anhu, what did he say? اُدْعُ لَنَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أَلَا تَدْعُ لَنَا أَلَا تَسْتَنْصِرْ لَنَا. Khabbab ibn al-Arat radiallahu anhu ardahu an al-Sahaba ajma'een, he was known to be the most persecuted among the Sahaba. We're talking about holes in the back, not just burns or wounds. He would come back to Rasulullah, says, make dua for us. أَلَا تَسْتَنْصِرْ لَنَا. Ask for victory for us. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to get upset, mad and angry with him. Why? Because that's the best of creation after prophets and messengers. This is the generation, خَيْرٌ النَّاسِ قَرْنِي. The best of human beings are my generation. Allah has chosen them to be the apostles of Rasulullah, the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you come in to complain. He says, Wallahi laqad kana fi umamin qablikum. Nations before you, what did they do? They would be sawed in half. And that will not deter them from the true path. They would be combed by a steel comb. They will take the skin of the flesh. And that will not take them away. وَلَكِنَّكُمْ قَوْمٌ تَسْتَعْجِلُونَ. But you are mere people in rush, in haste. You want result right now. You see things on your screen. You see your brothers and sisters dying. And you feel helpless and hopeless. You feel like a nail in a tire that is going around. But you cannot do anything. So I say, حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ فِي مَنْ جَعَلَنَا كَالنِّسَاءِ لَا نَمْلِكُ إِلَّا الدُّعَاءُ وَالْبُكَاءُ. So we say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our guardian. For those who turned us, nothing to do except the dua and crying. So we have to understand what this tadhiyah is all about. And then you ask yourself, after you hear the stories, what have you sacrificed for the sake of Allah? What have you left for the sake of Allah? Do your whims and desires come before Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Have you not heard about the 8/3? I'll come back to that inshallah. You will hear. They've left their homes. They've left their families. They've left their wealth. They've left their businesses. For what? Better weather? Better job? Maybe a good-looking wife? No. This is Ummu Salama radiallahu anha wa an ummat al-mu'minin ajma'in. Now, Abu Salama, her husband, decided to migrate, to leave Mecca, to go to Medina. Now her family and tribe says, this is our daughter. If you decided to leave Mecca to go to Medina, you go ahead. You're on your own. But this is our daughter. It belongs to our tribe. She stays. You go. Now the family of Abu Salama, radiallahu anh, saw that. He says, well, this son belongs to us. As if you deprived our own son of his own wife, we will deprive her of her own son. So they took Salama away from her. So you understand now, Abu Salama in Medina, Ummu Salama in Mecca, lost her husband, lost her son, and she would go out every day as she narrated the story on the boundaries of Mecca, hoping that Abu Salama would come back, hoping that she would get her son back. She says, every day I would go out, stay out all day, come back just before sundown, from sunrise to sundown, hoping to go back and forth to see that I can get my family back. فَبَكَيْتَ حَتَّى جَفَّ دَمْعِي. I cried till I had no more tears. Could you imagine, my brothers and sisters, losing your spouse, the tranquility, the treasure and pleasure and the miracle and the protection of life? Could you imagine the most beloved one, the shoulder you cry upon? Could you imagine that child that you've seen death giving you birth? You've gone hungry to feed them. You've gone thirsty to quench their thirst. You worked part-time, full-time, double-time, all the time, night-time, to put food on the table, clothes on their back, roof over their head. And that has been taken away from you. The one that opens the arms when you carry them as if you carried the whole life in your hand. All of that is taken away from you just like that. How would you feel? But they never gave up. Suhayb al-Rumi radiallahu anhu arda, and too many stories. One of them, what did they say? As he was leaving, the people in Quraysh says, La wallahi, you came to us here with nothing. You cannot leave with your soul and your wealth. You're a rich man now. You made it off of us. So you cannot leave with both. You can leave with one. So if it's money you're after, he had 20 arrows. He placed them. And he says, you know I am the best archer here. With every arrow, I'll take one of your souls. If you come and get me, rest assured I will take you with me. So if I take 20 of you, what's after that? You can do whatever you like after that. So if it's after money, you can take my money. I will tell you where my money is. Go there, go there, go there and take it. I'm not interested. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard about what Suhayb al-Rumi radiallahu anhu arda did. And he says, رَبَحَتِ الْبَيْعَ يَا أَبَا يَحْيَى. You made a good deal, O Suhayb radiallahu anhu. Now you'd understand, my dear brothers and sisters, when we talk about sacrifice, then you have to ask yourself a simple question in that lesson that's learned. What kind of sacrifice have I done? And then here's your 8/3. قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ وَعَشِيرَتُكُمْ وَأَمْوَالٌ اقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا وَتِجَارًا تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا وَمَسَاكِنْ تَرْضَوْنَهَا أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَجِهَادٌ فِي سَبِيلِهِ فَتَرَبَّصُوا. If your fathers, الْأَبُّ وَإِنْ عَلَى وَالْإِبْنُ وَإِنْ دَنَى, if your fathers and forefathers and your children downwards, your lineage, your progeny, your brethrens, your tribe, the money that you hoard, the business that you're afraid to lose, the dwellings that you love so much, is more beloved to you than Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi'ula and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and striving for their sake, so wait till Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees the matter. So you have to understand that, akhi, the migration itself, are the 8/3 in your life, or the 3/8 in your life? You have to understand what this means. What makes it lawful for you? What is your measuring stick? What will people say? Or what will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? And so on and so forth. Number 2. لا لليأس. We never despair of Allah's mercy. No matter how dark it gets. No matter how much you see on your screen. No matter how many messages you will get. And how many people died. And what are the enemies are doing to us. We will never despair of Allah's mercy. And we will never give up till the last day of our lives. We were here for a reason. We will only be tested on what is in our control. We're only asked to do and put the effort, which is 3. We're not gonna be asked about the consequences of what we do, and what decisions we make. We will be asked about what is in our own control, not the results. That's up to Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula. So no matter what happens on the ummah, akhi and ukhti, you always have to raise your head up high and never surrender to that shaitan that will make you despair of Allah's mercy. You might as well just give up. We are doomed. La wallahi. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for 13 years, the only thing he taught, قُولُوا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهَ تَفْلَحُوا. Say there's only one deity deserving to be worshipped so you may prosper. Has he ever given up? Never give up. And now 3. اتخاذ الأسباب. Putting the efforts and the causes and putting the plan. Couldn't Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula give Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam victory without him to move him from Mecca and Medina? Did he have to fight wars? Isn't this the deen of Allah? Isn't this Islam that will bulldoze and prevail over every way of life? It's a promise from Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula. So why did he have to leave? Why did he have to go through difficulties? What did he have to go in 3 years in Shu'bat Abi Talib eating the leaves of a tree? What did they have to go through the suffering? Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula is testing us like others were tested. And history will repeat itself. Alif lam mim. أحسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لو يفتنون. Do you think people will be left to say I believe without them being tested? ولقد فتنا الذين من قبلهم. And we have tested those before them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have a plea against them or for them. Understanding what this means. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had chosen specific people for a reason. Had put a game plan together. Surveillances, spy agencies. So, not only that, had the experts in the field, had plans in mind, went to the opposite direction, had the righteous company prepared for it. Wasn't Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu wanted to migrate, and he says, take it easy. Maybe Allah will find a good companion for you. And Abu Bakr as-Siddiq had two camels prepared, ready. And what happened? It was time. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was time for you to go. Then he goes to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. He says, أخرج من عندك. Everyone out. He says, بل هم أهل. This is your family. He says, it's time for me to go. الصحبة الصحبة يا رسول الله. He's the company, يا رسول الله. عليه الصلاة والسلام. He's الصحبة يا أبا بكر. يا الله. It's time and the company is granted, O Abu Bakr. Wallahi, Aisha radiallahu anha wa ardaha wa an umatul mina ajma'in. She says, Wallahi, I have never thought that anyone would be crying from the pleasure that he seeks. And the situation is put in. Except when I saw Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, her own father, cried from happiness, tears of joy, literally tears of joy. And then you have to ask yourself, what kind of company do you have? What kind of path have you taken? What have you left behind? Where he took everything with him and left nothing. I'm talking materialistic worlds. When they were asked, what have you left? He left everything for us. Her own grandfather came. She gave him some stones. He left us this. He thought it was money. But when Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, what have you left for your family? What did he say? I left Allah subhanahu jalla fi ula and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is the Quran and Sunnah. That is the path. So I have to ask you the same thing, akhi and ukhti. What have you left for your children? What path have you decided for them? What causes have you taken? What company do they keep? What legacy will you leave behind? What will you be remembered by? Are you a career mom? Are you a dollar sign dad? Do you know them? Do they know you? Do they run to you or run away from you? And look at the family, not just the suhbah. Look at the beautiful family. Asma radiallahu anha. Dunnataqain. She took her own belt. Took it apart, and that's why she had two. That's why she was called by Dub by that name. The one, the owner of the two belts. She had to take it, and that food was in. And one narration says that she was pregnant, walking in the desert sand, in the heat, for a long time, that not so many men can akin withdraw, with able to withstand this pain. Women of the Ummah, oh my sister, are you backing up this deen, or backing away from this deen? What is the intention of raising our children? Just to have a doctor this and a PhD that? Or was it the ummah that want to raise Salahuddin? You know the story, I can't get into it because I want to concentrate on this. So what is our intention to raise this ummah? To start from that. Because the word ummah comes from the word ya ukhta. A mother. That's why Ibn al-Qayyim rahmatullahi alayhi says the word, the ummah, women are half of the ummah and they give birth to the other half of the ummah. That means they are the whole ummah. Never belittle the sisters and don't ever take them for granted. The strength of the ummah, the backbone, the cornerstone, is it indeed our sisters. Not only that, Abdullah ibn Abi Bakr, young man still, he would go around in Mecca and know what's going on and he would relay the message. The other Abdullah again, Amr ibn Thayr, all of that, they will take in surveillance, they will take the sheep, run and walk behind the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr as-Siddiq to make sure they erase it. And the queen of thirds from that, a beautiful game plan. And they would stay in for 3 nights, redirect and go back. Understanding the yaqeen, another lesson that is learned. When Abu Bakr as-Siddiq was walking in front of him, behind him, on his right, on his left, every time he's looking around, he was looking to protect Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in every direction. And you see the story and you can hear the bounties now. 100 camel, if you bring him back dead or alive. Have you heard that before? Does it sound familiar? Bring him to me dead or alive. So Suraqa goes and runs. Talatham, you got the armors of war. I want that money. I want that booty. I want that hit. I'm a hit hunter. I want that. 100 camels. It's like 100 Cadillacs. Now he runs after them. And now Abu Bakr as-Siddiq sees him. Wallahi, I see death in his eyes, O Messenger of Allah. So what he said, why are you worried? Right, left, why are you worried? What do you think of that? Two, the third is Allah. But look at the beauty of the Quran that explains the difference between the suhbah of Rasulullah and the suhbah of Musa alayhi salam. Because the companion with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. So what do you think? What do you say? Don't be afraid. Inna Allaha ma'ana. He said the word Allah before the ma'iyyah. Allah is with us. But when Musa alayhi salam was talking, different crowd. What did he say? Inna ma'iyya Allah. Ma'iyyah was before Allah. Here, tangible. Because there was no belief of the unseen and the unknown. So what is your belief, akhi and ukhti? How strong do you feel? Do you have to see something that is tangible? Or do you believe in the promise of Allah that was promised to us in the Quran and Sunnah? And then again, Suraqa comes. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes a dua. Allahumma kfinihi mima shi't. Protect me the way from your wish. His horse stopped suddenly. And Suraqa falls off. And he says, wallahi, I've never fallen off a horse. He's so greedy, he wants it, he can taste it, it's so close. 100 camels are mine. He gets back on it, goes back again. Make Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam makes the dua. He falls off again. The third time, he falls off again. So he says, فَعَلِمْتَ أَنَّهُ مَمْنُوعٌ. Now I have yaqeen, certainty, that he is off limits. I can't get to him. So what does he say? الْأَمَانْ يَا مُحَمَّدُ. الْأَمَانْ. الْأَمَانْ. Now he's asking for protection. Could you imagine? When Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam left, he was crying. He was crying. Why would people do that to me? Wasn't I known to be Sadiq al-Wa'd al-Amin? Don't they know who I am? Have I ever lied to them? Have I even betrayed them? Even then, he never betrayed them. Even though they came with the plan, the strongest plan from Abu Jahl, Shaitan learned from him that time. Everyone is talking about the plan, but he said, we will take the strongest man from every tribe and they will kill him one shot. And then they will never be able to have that revenge from which tribe. Even Shaitan was impressed by his Abu Jahl. Do we have Abu Jahl nowadays? Indeed we do. But Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked Ali among the sacrifice, you stay in my bed. What would you do if someone says, listen, these people are here out to kill me. Stay in my bed. Would you do it? Impossible. Ali ibn Abi Talib, yaqeen, radiyallahu anhu an ali bayti al-athar ajma'in. He says, I will do it. So after he passed the test, he says, when you wake up in the morning, he's given him assurance that he will wake up in the morning. But what did he say? They entrusted him. Even though they didn't believe in him, they entrusted him with the most valuable worldly affairs of him. They left everything, every treasure with him. It's when you wake up in the morning, give them back their duty rights. How much have we taken that doesn't belong to us, akhi and ukhti? How many towels in your home that has Sheraton or Hilton on it? How many pens from the offices have you taken? How many papers, how many pencils, how many? The amana, we would never betray the amana. Even though they wanted to kill him, he still gave him back. And the beauty of the miracle, when he recited the Quran, has taken a handful of dust, placing it on their head. a sign of humility. That's a miracle. They are still there. You see them, but they can't see them. What does that mean? The miracle when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the eyes not to see. It's the same Lord that told the fire not to burn. It's the same Lord that told the knife not to slaughter. So why do we get afraid? Doesn't the adhan say Allahu Akbar? The first word you're supposed to have heard in your life. The word Allahu Akbar. It's the adhan that is supposed to have heard by your own father, given you when you were given birth. As soon as you came to this life, the first words you're supposed to hear, Allahu Akbar. The shahada, declaration of faith. Al-wala wal-bara. Inna shahada. Coming back to Suraqa. Now Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, we will give you the aman. He's write it down for me. He gives him the aman. Try it. And he says, kayfa bika ya Suraqa. What do you think, or how do you feel, O Suraqa, when you're wearing the treasures of Kisra? The strongest army, the biggest. Could you imagine, I'm telling you, listen man, I'm running away, but I'm going to put you in the White House tomorrow. What do you think? Prophet Muhammad ﷺ gave him that price and that promise that it came true at the time of Umar al-Khattab. And you told him, where is Suraqa ibn Malik radiallahu anhu? Take your hands, he put them on and he raised his hand, split the army into two, raise your hand. Sadaqa Rasulullah, the true of wa'd, a promise that he fulfilled, the loyalty was given back. How many of us have Suraqa in our home? How many of us have Suraqa in our heart? How many of us are afraid of this psychological warfare? إِنَّ النَّاسَ قَدْ جَمَعُوا لَكُمْ فَخْشَوْهُمْ. No, we're not going to be afraid. You'll ever think again, if anyone that will make you doubt that the victory to this deen, because it came from Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula. Now, after Suraqa's gone, he promised not to come back and to hide. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes into the cave. And Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu goes in before him. He loves him more than himself. He used to put the date in the mouth of Rasulullah. He says, I taste the sweetness of the date. He says, I give him the date and I taste the sweetness. سَقَيْتَهُ حَتَّ ارْتَوَيْتَ. I gave him water till I quenched my thirst. Wasn't he the one? He was not known for the strength, meaning physical. But he was the only one to penetrate that line where Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam being persecuted in the haram, where he put that intestines of the animals on him. And he says he punched, even everyone was watching. He says, if we come, we will die. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq was the only one to come and defend Rasulullah. أَتَقْتُلُونَ رَجُلٌ أَن يَقُولَ رَبِّيَ اللَّهِ. Are you killing a man because his only crime, this is my Lord, is Allah? Isn't this our crime now, akhi and ukhti? What is the crime of Muslims now? You simply say, I declare, I bear witness, there is no deity on the face of the earth that is deserving to be worshipped except Allah. Apparently that's your crime. Isn't that amazing, akhi? So hold on to it. That's the only thing you have that is worth anything in this world. Live and die by it. أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. So he goes into the grave, in the cave, and puts his foot in the holes. What is it for? Looking for, digging for oil? Maybe there's a gold? No, he wants to make sure he's protected. There is no scorpions or anything or any snakes that will harm Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Made sure everything is safe. Even though he was bit, he did not want to wake Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Only the tears that dropped that woke Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And after this, you tell me the company you keep. No, akhi, this is something much more than you think. The time is running, so is this migration trip. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, now people are actually looking for him. He gets people to see them. He comes around. And that story, the hadith that is sahih, authenticated, there was no what you see, what you think. I'm not going to go into the fiqh issues, but I'm here to have a lessons learned. All he said, if they look down, they will see us. If they look down, they will see us. But it wasn't meant to be. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can take that same eyesight that these men that wanted to kill Rasulullah away from these people that wanted to kill Rasulullah again. So you'll understand that the causes is not what it takes. It's the causes by the one that creates the causes. Not by anyone else. So we'll never bow down to anybody else except to Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula. مَا ظَنُّكَ What do you think? Abu Bakr, why are you afraid? Our third is Allah. ثَانِيَ اثْنَيْنْ إِذْهُمَا فِي الْغَارِ Allahu Akbar. Isn't that amazing, akhi and ukhti? I want you to imagine that you're in the ghar. You're in this cave. What would you think at that time? What will you take with you? And who will you take with you? Now, they've hired a man that is not a Muslim, but he's the expert. What do you learn from that? It's not because you're my cousin, I'm going to give you the job. You're my bro, you're my homie. You have no qualification whatsoever, you're hired. That's why we're losing the specialization. That's why we're losing it. What is the amana? Among the signs of times, that amana will be lost. Trustworthiness will be lost. They asked him, how come? He says, إِذَا وُسِّدَ الْأَمْرُ لِغَيْرِ أَهْلِهِ فَارْتَقِبِ السَّاعَةِ When people are taking the position, they have no qualification, no credentials in taking the position. The whole ummah loses. So it's time, my brothers and sisters, that you should be doing ihsan, doing the best that you can in every field that you're in. With that intention, so you can get the ummah back again. There is no more time for us to be producers or consumers. Wallahi, it's enough for us. It's time for us to stop just consuming and not producing. It's time for us to turn the ummah around and be the best in every field that you do. It's time for us to innovate everything that we own, everything that we need. We cannot depend on anyone else to feed us. Not anyone else to weaponize us. Not anyone else to give us medicine for the cure. We cannot be a slave to anyone else except to Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi'ula. That is the amana, akhi. That man was not a Muslim, but he was the best in the guidance. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam hired him to get him there. And he got him there. On the long journey that most of us have taken, it takes a long time, even on a bus, even with the train nowadays. Difficult indeed. Busy, harsh terrain, difficult environment, hot weather, dusty sand, no pit stops, no rest house, no golden arches. You're being haunted. For days, everyone is after you. You're being ousted. You're being driven out from the homes where Prophet Muhammad ﷺ cried when he left him. By Allah, if your people did not take me away, I will never have been taken away. Most beloved land to my heart. He goes back to another place, also beloved to his heart. People are receiving him. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, similar age, people did not know which one is which. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the company of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, that Abu Bakr as-Siddiq takes the umbrella, he puts it on and shaded Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he ushers to him. Now people are receiving him. Everyone wants the camel. Everybody wants to host on him. First thing he did in Medina was what? Establish a masjid. What does that mean, ya akhi? What does masjid mean in your life? How far away do you live away from the masjid just because it's cheaper outside? I have no connection with the masjid. But remember, the first thing he did was establishing the masjid. The second thing he did was the brotherhood. How is the brotherhood, ya akhi? Are we still fighting which part of the head that we are going to make on the wudu? And our enemies are united to cut off our heads. Is that what we're fighting for still, akhi? Safasif al-umur? You're still in the hadid? You're still looking down? You haven't looked up yet? Where do you put your hand in a prayer? Do you raise it or no? And you know where I'm going with that. The first thing, masjid. First thing is the masjid. This is our home. The center of the universe. It should be like your heart, the center of your body. It should be the antenna and the satellite dish that you get the signal of Iman. No matter where you are in the world, you still look in Mecca. You still look at that haram. That's where your boost of Iman, that's where you get the signal is. And that's exactly where the masjid should be in your center of your life. And then the brotherhood, yashhadu tarikh. History will testify that there's no other migration on the face of the earth, that there is no bloodshed. On the contrary, they said, ahlan wa sahlan. Family and home. They've given them everything they have, at least half of their wealth, half of their health, half of their businesses, half of their homes. The brotherhood was extremely important. So how is your brotherhood? Are you in the hood? May Allah help us, wallahi. Look at what we have in common. Same ummah, same banner, same Lord, same book, same qibla, same rasul, same goal, same everything. And we're still fighting over many things. Allah help us, wallahi. It's time for us, akhi. Wallahi, it's time to look at the bigger picture, not the smaller one. Now the brotherhood is there. Even Abdurrahman ibn Auf, radiallahu anhu, and Sahaba al-Ajma'een. He's given half of the wealth. What did he say? Did he take a freebie? No. We have the izzah, the honor and dignity not to give me. But show me. What did he say? May Allah, barakallahu fika wa ahlika wa malik. May Allah bless you, your family, health and wealth. Dulluni ala suq. Guide me to the marketplace. That is our izzah, akhi. When did we ever become beggars? When did we ever have the bottom hand? When are we going to take the upper hand? When is the difference between tawakkul and tawakul? Even Ibrahim ibn al-Adham, rahmatullahi alayhi wa radiyallahu anhu. A long story short, because of time. He was looking at two birds. One bird was a wing broken. So he said, wallahi, I'll wait to see how that he gets his sustenance. He saw another bird sink by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you like to help him and give him some food. He said, that's it. I now know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide. So he left everything and he stayed in the masjid to ta'abbud, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another alim heard, ya Ibrahim, why did you choose to be the weak bird? Why did you choose to be the weak bird? When did we choose to be the weaker bird, brothers and sisters? When did we even yarda daniya fi dinina? When did we actually say, I will take the lower one. I'll take the bottom hand. When is the time to come back and to be the upper hand? It's now. Understanding this means and the causes and tawakkul and tawakul. And understanding that we put our effort to be the best, like Abdurrahman ibn Auf, dulluni ala suq, guide me to the marketplace, did not want to give me, be a parasite. No. I'm a doer. وَقُلْ اِعْمَلُوا. Do your actions and deeds. Allah will look at you do. And what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has asked us to do is to be in ihsan in everything that we do. Excel in excellence in everything that we do. Now, no other migration on the face of the earth, and I don't have to go to politics or history that you know what I'm talking about. Except that they killed and slaughtered in the bloodshed when they take over a land of somebody else. On the contrary, from Mecca to Medina, from the Muhajirin to the Ansar, open arms, welcome. The brotherhood has to be revived. We have to look at one another. This is my brother. This is my sister. This is the ummah. How can I help? Never kick him when they're down, but take the hand and pull it up, not push it down. When do we ever hear? And as I'm talking about hearing, I hear the adhan. So we will leave it here, inshallah. With so much more to learn and a long journey. But to end in Jannah is the best journey. Especially to be with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I will leave you with that hand. When Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, كُلُّ أُمَّتِي فِي الْجَنَّةِ إِلَّا مَنْ أَبَى. My whole ummah is in Jannah except those who refuse. They asked him, how could you refuse? He says, مَنْ أَطَاعَنِي دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَنْ عَصَانِي فَقَدْ أَبَى. those who obey me, they will enter Jannah. And those who disobey me, they have chosen not to go to Jannah. Is it time for us to take that hand and take that promise and take the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that is taken from Mecca to Medina to change the world? It's time to at least change your world one step at a time, one family at a time, in order for us to be one ummah once again, love one another once again, be in a lead once again. I ask Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula to make us among those who listen to speech and follow the best of it. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula as He gathered us here in this dunya to gather us with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen wa akhir da'wana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallam ala alihi wa sahbihi wa tabi'een. Jazakumullah anna khaira. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.